Blog Talk Radio.
A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio with your on-air radio personality, Tracy LaWanda. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back with A Word just for you. And thank you for tuning in to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your on-air radio personality as well as host, Tracy LaWanda, and I'm excited. Well, like I always am. I'm always excited anytime I see a new day that wasn't promised, and I'm always excited because I have awesome guests, and we have an awesome guest on today. Today's show is Birth Out of Bondage, Treasures in the Midst of Ruins. My special guest today is Evangelist Lottie Stern. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm just excited. This is an awesome woman of God. You don't want to miss this show, so stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Come on. Okay, maybe you might have to get something to drink. Go ahead, get something to drink. Take off your shoes. Relax. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this music break. And again, you're listening live to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, will you say yes? Be sure that you really mean yes.
I surrender my all, my all.
yes to your way, Lord. Yes, each and every day, Lord. Can I just tell my testimony? Can I be a witness for the Lord? You see, some of you don't know, but I'm not ashamed anymore to let the Lord know that I know him as a healer. He's not my doctor, he's my healer. You see, when we were here back in 1988, I did near the cross, not knowing that the enemy was going to try me and see if he could steal my rest. I went in the hospital. I stayed in there 6 months. I was perplexed, couldn't think straight. Some of you don't know what it's like to be out of your right mind. I was crawling the walls, running when nobody was chasing me. But you know, I was in that room, they had me locked up. And if I couldn't do nothing else, you see, I went down on my knees. And I said, Lord, I said, help me please. 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 And I want you to know, the Lord gave me my joy back. He gave me my peace.
Welcome back to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your on-air radio personality as well as host, Tracy LaWanda. And has your soul said yes? Oh, my, because I know I have said yes, yes, yes. Praise God. I just love that song. My special guest today is Evangelist Lottie Stern. And before I bring her on, I would like to share a brief word with you. Here on A Word for You, we deal with everyday issues using sound biblical principles for understanding and answers. Now, these sound biblical principles not only work in the spiritual realm, but also in other aspects of life. And everybody has a story to tell, amen? So today I will be coming out of the book of John chapter 14, verses 13, where the Word of God says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son." See, God promises are offered to all believers. However, they do carry a few stipulations. Believers must pray when they are going through the storms, and when they're not going through the storms of life, the Word of God says to pray without ceasing, which is God's will, and to stop trying to do our own will. We are also to humble ourselves. We are to praise him in good times and in bad times. We are to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we are to turn from evil in order to receive the promises of God. So whatever it may look like, whatever it may be like, know that if you are a true believer, oh my, that the promises of God are for you. What the enemy meant for bad, oh, you better recognize this. God, oh, hallelujah, God will turn it around for his good. So just hold on to the promises of God. And the way that we hold on to the promises of God is when we stay in the Word of God and we meditate on his Word day and night, and when we praise him and when we worship him. My gosh, there are promises for every believer. And even for those that don't believe, if you only truly believe within your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died and rose on the third day, and that you confess your sins, you too can receive the promises of God. So without any further ado, let me introduce to you to my guest, Evangelist Lottie Stern. She is a prayer warrior. I tell you, she is, because we've had some time in prayer. Amen. She is also a mother, a school teacher, a book author, a wife, and the founder of Healing Water Ministry. See, today Evangelist Stern is going to let us into her life. She is going to give her living testimony. Oh, hallelujah. She's going to be sharing that through the book that she wrote, which is called Birth Out of Bondage, Treasure in the Midst of Ruins. again, she's going to share herself with us. She's going to open up her life and let us in. And I'm just so thankful for her on today. So without any further ado, welcome my guest and my sister in Christ, Evangelist Lottie Stern.
Amen.
Welcome
Amen.
To the show.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Tracy. Amen. It's an honor to be here.
Praise God. God bless you also. I just thank God for you. I'm excited. I'm excited for the move of the Holy Spirit through the vessel that I'm speaking to right now. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So I would like you, first off, to tell our listeners a little bit about who Evangelist Lottie Stern is today, right now in the present, before we go into your past.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Greetings to every listener on this afternoon. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and just thanking God for who he is and who he is to me in my life and who I am today because of him. Because if it had not been for him that had been on my side, I wouldn't be who I am today. Today, I'm just a little bit about myself. As it was already mentioned, I am a special education teacher. I am also a nationally ordained evangelist with the PAW, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. I am married, have been married, going on 18 years. It will be 18 years this coming September 14th. I have two lovely boys, one that is 15 and one that is 11, calling Caleb. And currently I attend Bethesda Apostolic Church, which is in Fresno, California, where my pastor and bishop is Bishop Henry L. Johnson of the 16th Episcopal District of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. Today, I am, as I said, I am a prayer warrior. I love praying. I love the Lord. I'm sold out for Jesus. I found that there is no other way, nowhere else I would rather be than in the presence of the Lord and with him, serving him, being used by him to whatever capacity that he sees fit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. I'm excited. Amen. So why did you write the book? And give us a little bit about the background on the name of the book, which is Birth Out of Bondage, Treasures in the Midst of Ruins. What is that? What is the meaning of the cover of the book? Because, I mean, I just every time I look at the book and I look at the cover, I mean, it speaks something there. So could you share with our listeners?
Amen. The title, Birth Out of Bondage, Treasure in the Midst of Ruins, was something that the Lord gave me. I went to a writer's conference. I had another name for the book, but which was so common, which was From Rags to Riches, and the Lord gave me something different and something new. And as I began to look back over my life to see what was the transformation, what actually happened to me, and that's what it was. I was a treasure in the midst. We're all God's treasures. And God just let me know I was his treasure just hidden in the midst of all that runs. When I talk about runs, I'm talking about rubbish. And you can look at torn down buildings, and you can look at a place that, what we would call, per se, the ghetto, with nothing but glass and rubbish all around. That's where I was, seemed like, in my life, my spiritual life. So that's where I was. So God gave me this. And I took it to a young lady that lives in Indiana. She is a prosthetic artist. And I told her what I wanted. And so she went in prayer about this, and this is what the Lord gave her. And for those that have not seen the cover of the book, it's several items that's on the cover of the book that the Lord gave her to put it right into that place, to lay it out like she did and what it meant. And on the cover of the book, we have a glass doll, which represents Christ's plan for my life. And then you'll see the doll in chains. The doll brought comfort to me in my own personal prison, as Sister Harris had so said. And then we have a diamond in the cover of the book. You see a diamond, and that's what she said by the Lord gave to her as the future hope in Christ. I am Christ's jewel. And then you see a little face of a girl, a sad little face of a girl. It's like a reflection. And that represented the sorrow that I had experienced in my life. And so as you go through the book and as you read the book, you would see exactly what was meant, what was represented in every little item that was on there, on the cover of the book, the broken heart, a victim, which my heart was being given away and broken to many pieces. And then in the dark times of my life, when no one was there, when I found no one was there, how I found comfort in the dark hours through baby Jesus, the doll and chains, but yet and still you can find comfort through Jesus. and my future hope, as I say. And then a dove is the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to heal. And that's only through Christ Jesus. He's the only one that's able to heal us and to bring us out of the situations and circumstances that we're in. And then also is a dead rose in there that was blooming into a beautiful red rose, how the Lord saw me. Even though I was dead in my trespasses and sins and dead in everything that I was doing, the Lord saw me as a blooming, beautiful rose.
Yeah.
And so the reflection in the mirror of the sad little girl turned into a smiling woman of God. That's who I am now because, you know, I have no sad story to tell. What I went through was for a purpose and for a reason for me to be able to reach out to somebody else and let them know that no matter where you are, alone comes Jesus into your life and he can change everything.
Amen.
So that's a little bit about the cover of the book.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's powerful. Now, why did you write this book?
I wrote the book the Lord had impressed on me many years ago, and you know how you start writing, you jot a little bit down here and you jot a little bit down there, but nothing ever came because I think the Lord had to deal with me personally and internally before I can pour out everything that I needed to pour out into the book, what he wanted me to share. And I wrote the book, and my heart goes out to young ladies, especially, you know, because I was a young woman that left home at an early age. And so I wanted to share my experience with the world and with those who are in hurt and those who are in pain, those who have been abused, you know, neglected, rejected, whatever they may be going through, whatever situation they find themselves in, that it is a way out. And the way out is through Jesus, through, you know, just turning our life over to him. Some may say that's not easy to do. But when we let go, when we follow the leading, when we see the opening and see how God is dealing with us, then we can find relief. We can find, you know, a satisfaction in him. So the reason I wrote the book is to reach out to them and let them know that they, too, can come out of the prison that they're in. That they, too, can be birthed out of the ruins that they're in. And the ruins that, you know, when you stay in rubbish and stay in a life that's not conducive to your own well-being or to the well-being of others, it's just going to pull you down more and more and more. And we know the end result of those that don't know the Lord. So we will pull you down to the fact until you will be totally, utterly destroyed. And that's what the devil wanted to do. But God had another plan.
Yeah. But God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Now, in chapter 2 of your book, you share about the void that was in your life because your father not being there. Share with our listeners a little bit about that season in your life.
Okay. My father, my mother and my father separated at a very early age. I believe I was about 3 years old. And growing up and everything, and they was going through different things like that, and I didn't understand why, it was happening until later on. You would hear things as children as you grow up, you know, you hear this, hear that, but they never told you everything. And I am the middle child of three girls, and so I love my dad. I really, you know, love my dad and can remember and cherish some of the times that I had with him. But after we left Louisiana and we moved away, that was gone. He was gone and out, you know, out of my life per se, even though we talked to him every now and then, but it wasn't the same, of us, him being there with us. And, you know, and then as I share, even I believe in that particular chapter as well of the family that he had begun to have there. And I was wondering why, you know, how could he love somebody else? And here we are, three girls wanting him and needed him. My mother did real well. You know, she did good, the best she could. Raising three girls, you know, even though different things happened during that time, different places we were and different people came into her life and, you know, just different things that we went through as children growing up without a father, you know, in the home. And as some people in their homes today, when that happens, you'll see this man come in and you'll see that man come in and you'll just see it was no stability, no stability.
Yeah.
So with knowing that my father was my father, you know, as young girls, we need our parents. We need our mothers, need our fathers, because I believe I shared in that particular chapter about, you know, how was I going to know who I could really trust in, because you wasn't there. You wasn't there to lead me. He wasn't there to guide me. So that left a big void in my life, you know, and I've seen everything else happening. My mother was a good person, and we all go through different things. So in her life before she came to know who Jesus was just like any other average person life, going through and trying to make it. doing things to try to make it. So that's what she was doing. And so we were seeing all this and not getting the leading, the guidance that we needed. And so we was kind of free, and it was just amazing to me how free we was as young kids. Today you don't see that, because if kids are free like we were at that young age, that somebody would have been snatched them up and killed them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we had so much freedom, and I didn't understand why, you know, and thing like that. But with my dad, once he was with the person he was with, and he had two other children by the other lady and everything like that, and that hurt there, especially, you know, during the holiday times and stuff like that. I can remember one particular holiday he sent us something, but she was the one that picked it out, and it was like she got it from a secondhand store. You know, some clothes and stuff. It was like, you know, she just got it from a secondhand store. So that void, it just, I believe, got deeper and deeper within me until I was looking for someone or something to try to fill that void. So he left a deep, deep void in my life for him not being there. And I searched for it in different ways. And even though my mom did everything she could and tried to do everything, we never lacked for anything, never wanting for anything.
Right.
But it was a void. And, you know, not knowing, and as I know today, I can see actually what that real void was. But it was just, to me, almost a representation of a natural father to our spiritual father.
My.
You know, when you start looking back and you start thinking, I mean, because I searched and searched to fill that void with men and different things like that, but it never was filled. It never got filled until I came to Jesus.
Yes.
So he did. He actually, and our relationship wasn't that great. We didn't have a great relationship. You know, and everything because of this different circumstances. It was so much that was happening. And I believe I named that chapter Doomsday, because that was during the time when we left, you know, New Orleans, and when we was leaving him as a little girl, I didn't want to go. I wanted to be there with my dad, because I knew, you know, that once we moved, it was like he was not going to be there anymore. My father wasn't going to be there anymore. My grandmother wasn't going to be there anymore. I didn't, you know, wasn't going to have that foundation that I had when I was young growing up there. You know, even it's amazing how you can remember stuff back from 3-4 years old. And then some things you block out because of the tragedy that was happening.
Oh, my.
And I wonder today, after what all did happen to me during that time.
Yes.
You know, because as a result, you know, we are in a matter of speaking what our past was. You know, when we grew up, our environment, a product of our environment, the different things that we are, and the reason we do certain things today is because of what we went through.
Yes.
And so I wonder, even during that time of my life, as I, you know, think back as I was writing the book, I remember writing and tears were coming to my eyes as I was writing it. Well, how could this have been? How could this have happened? What actually happened to me? You know, I try to, you know how you try to probe deep into a part of your memory, you know, and then it takes people to, you know, fill up the gaps. And this past, I believe it was in January, this past January, my sister filled in some gaps for me. I was up there in New Jersey, and she filled in some certain gaps. You know, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, why the Lord had a purpose. I'm still here.
I'm still here.
So if a lot of things, and now I realize that we can't blame everything you all on our fathers.
That's right.
They, you know, they did what they did because of who they were at that time and because they didn't know no better. But until you learn that, until you realize that, of course, we're going to blame. It's because of you, you know, that I'm like. It's because of you. You wasn't there. I could have avoided all of this in my life. I could have avoided being abused and, you know, and sexually molested and different things like that, beaten and stuff like that, if you had been in my life, if you had been that father there, that man figure in my life, because I would have had someone to look up to. I didn't have no one to look up to that was worth looking up to. So that particular chapter, when you get the book, it's a poem in there that I've written as Dad. It's called Dad. And it just goes into some, you know, just my feelings at that time and what was going on within me, you know, because I can remember even after that, when after I left home at 15 years old and I turned 16, I can remember calling my sister in California. She was staying in California with my dad, and he called me a dog. And that just broke my heart. I mean, you know, when you think about even the abuse on his part, as far as the whippings, you know, if my father was still alive today, he probably would have been in jail, if, you know, if things was like it was today from the whippings that we got.
Oh, yes. Wow.
You know,
I remember them whippings.
It was so much, you know, and then whippings, I could just recall so much. And I call that abuse because it's a thin line between abuse and disciplining. You know, it's a very distinct difference between the two. you know, discipline, yes, you discipline the children, but when you forget, when you whip your child just for forgetting a bath towel to take a shower, you know, to dry off, when you whip them for not eating some food that your person that you had, you know, that woman that you was with had put too much pepper in it, you know, and you whip them for that, that's abuse.
Oh, yes.
You know, so I went through a lot, you know, and even, you know, with him when he was alive and everything, you know, but I thank God that I got that out of my heart before he passed away, because now I can remember he never had told us that he loved us, you know, just so much that young women, young girls need in their life from their parents, from their fathers, you know, and I'm sure if it was a mother that was absent, it would have been the same thing, because they need, young girls need their mom and they need their dad.
That's right. That's
so
right.
That particular chapter, you know, when you those who haven't received the book, haven't gotten the book, just read it. It's a lot there, and you can read the poem. I don't know if can I read some of the poem, Sister Tracy?
If you feel led to, Evangelist Stern, please do.
Okay,
share,
I'm going to
share
read
it with our listeners.
A portion of the poem. It's called Dad. It's I reached out for you, but you disappeared before we could reconcile. Why did I not hear those words that a father is supposed to say? Why did you cause me so much pain? Why did we have to separate at the age of 3? So many unanswered questions, never to be resolved. Life's unexpected turns has brought you back in my life, but it would never be the same. Too much distance, too many holes, family secrets going untold. Where is that fatherly image? How could you allow my life to be spotted with so many blemishes? Why were you not there? Why did I have to search for a father figure believing that I would find someone who cares? At 16, you broke my heart by saying those words that pierced my soul. You severed our relationship by keeping me and my sister apart. I tried to share the joy that was bubbling out of my longing heart. You called me a dog, causing my life to unfold, searching and searching for a healing balm. Conflicts, disappointments, low self-esteem, resentment, loneliness, wrong choices, abuse, not ever experiencing a deep sense of inner calm. Like the changing of the seasons, my life constantly filled with grief. Hours, minutes, seconds, I could never find relief. Years continued to fly by like the wind blowing through the trees. No one to turn to, never a word of encouragement. My spirit never experienced a moment of quietness, nor was there a gentle touch that would soothe me like the fresh aroma of a summer breeze. Countless times I yearned for you, Dad. I wanted to ask why, but pride and hurt kept me away. Unforgiveness filled my mind like cement would harden on the ground day after day. My heart filled with drops of ink, finally erupting like a volcano. Shadows surrounded me, evil overrode me. Life was slowly slipping away. Voices filled my head. Why is this happening? You stole away, no laughter, no joy, and no peace. Deceived, tricked, lost, encumbered with heartaches, doors slammed shut, pathways blocked, so many obstacles. Yet, I made it in spite of you. That was a poem called Dad that I put into the book. So that explains a lot. It in just a few, you know, words and stuff, it just explains so much that was going on within me. And this was when you know, time had went away, we couldn't, you know, resolve any more things because he had passed away. So it wasn't nothing else to, you know, to be able to understand why did you do this and why did you do that. It was too late then. But yet and still, the Lord, because of Jesus, I made it in spite of him.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. Before I go on to the next question, Evangelist Stern, I do want to acknowledge the guests and some comments they've been making here on the chat board. We want to welcome Jay Strickland. We want to welcome Prophetess Sharonda. We also want to welcome UFOUK. And we also want to welcome Virtuous Lady. And we had a couple of other guests that came in and left out. Let's see what some of the notations that I'm reading, going to read to you, is coming from what you just said about your dad, where Virtuous Lady says, as you were speaking about your father, Virtuous Lady says, wow, powerful. Yes, I can relate to this too. And then a Prophetess Sharonda said, I can too. She also says, similar feelings. And they were saying that we have to learn to embrace Abba Father. That's what Virtuous Lady said. The prophetess Sharanta said, yes, Virtuous Lady said, that's how I got healed. And then prophetess said, I had to learn how to let my dad go, give him to the Lord. And then I said, yes. And then Virtuous Lady said, over many years of brokenness without my dad in my life. And then prophetess said, I carried so much hurt around, and then I felt responsible for his life at the same time. About your poem, they said it was awesome and a beautiful expression.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you all.
And Jay Strickland said, hey, Evangelist Stern, and welcome Dorothy Lee to the show. That was just, you know, as you were saying, so many of us we can relate to that as far as not having a dad in the home. I had my dad. Well, my dad divorced my mom when I was 1 year old, and I spoke with a psychologist I saw my dad every summer. He would come and pick me up, and I spoke to Summers with him. She says, well, he still abandoned you, because what's the summers compared to the other days and times of the year? But at that moment, I felt like, no, he didn't, because he was seeing me in the summers. And she says, Tracy, you got to wake up. He still abandoned you, because the summer is nothing. What is it, like 1.5 months? Or whatever the case may be. So it's so good that we have a Heavenly Father that takes the place of our earthly father when they're not there for us. So I thank you so much for opening up your life regarding your dad, which when they purchase your book, they can read more about it in chapter 2. Yes. Now, I loved it when you talked about your grandmother, because I just love both my grandmothers. So tell us a little bit about grandmother, who you call Big Mama, and what kind of impact did she make on your life?
Wow.
I love grandmama.
Yes, that was my father's mother, you know, and during the time, I guess, you know, I stayed a lot with her. And so I just loved that woman. I don't know why, it was just something about my Big Mama I just loved. I can remember, and I think I wrote that in the book in different places, when I would stay with her and everything. She used to, what you call, dip snuff. And you know, and just everything. It's just looking up to her as, you know, and as a young girl, you find some way, I guess, to really, that you really care about. And then if you're with them so much, you know, you just try to take over. So I can remember in New Orleans, we were staying on Washington Street, I believe it was, and we had this balcony, like we was up over top of a crackling factory, and she would sit up there on the porch. We would go out there and sit out there. It'd be warm in the house, and we would go out there and sit out there, and she'd have her little stick can down there, and then, you know, her chewing her tobacco and her dipping her Garrett snuff. And so she had her little can, and then I have my little spit can. I just put all this stuff to my lips. And I can remember, I mean, just trying to be like her, just looking, you know, just trying to do what she was doing. Because my mom, you know, even though my mom was around, I spent most of my, you know, time with her, you know, with my Big Mama when I was growing up. Mom and Dad, they were separated, you know, and just stuff like that. So I spent a lot of time with Big Mama. And so, and my auntie, her other daughter, Estelle. And so I spent a lot of time with her. We'd sit out there, and when she spit, I'll spit, you know. And then my mother never did like it. Or when my dad would come by, she would say, you need to make sure you get that stuff out your mouth, you know, real quick when you see them coming. Because we would send them forward. We can see them when they come and stuff like that. But one time I didn't get it out soon enough, and my mom washed my mouth out with some soap.
Wow. I mean, real soap.
Real soap, real soap.
Oh, my.
I mean, it was like the tobacco, you know, and stuff. A beach nut tobacco, I'll never forget it. Beach nut tobacco, I'll put it in my jaw just like she did it. In my lip just like she did it. And we, you know, in 75, I believe it was, she passed away. I think it was right around that time, because we was in Chicago at that time when she had passed away, and it was that snowstorm that was in Chicago that couldn't, it wasn't, you know, everything had stopped. It was during that year when she had passed away, and I couldn't make it to her funeral.
I couldn't make it
to her funeral. I can remember when we moved, I didn't want to leave her. I wanted to be right there with her. And, you know, all that we went through or whatever, it seemed like she was there for me. You know, that's who I remember. I remember Mama, but that's who I remember is Big Mama. You know, so, but that's, other than that, because she went out of my life at such a, you know, me being such a young age. So she wasn't there either, you know, after a certain length of time. And then I think, too, with the stuff that she had to go through with my dad and just different things, it was just a mess, Sister Tracy.
Yes. We've all come through some mess, believe that.
Yes.
Praise God. But God.
Mm-hmm,
that's what it's about.
God.
But God. My. I do have more questions for you, but I want us to go ahead and take another music break.
Okay.
And go get you some water because I sure enough need some. And we will be right back with our special guest, Evangelist Lottie Sturr. So stay right where you are. You're listening to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere because we'll be right back. And let's see how the Lord is leading me. Well, why don't we listen to I Worship You by Juanita Byron.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Welcome back to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your on-air radio personality as well as host, Tracy LaWanda, and my special guest today is Evangelist Lottie Sturr. She is sharing with us and allowing us to come into her life through the book that she has written, which is called Birth Out of Bondage, Treasure in the Midst of Ruins. Oh, my. So far. So good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. So I want to now take us a little closer in, you know, towards the end of your life, but somewhere in the middle we're going to go right here, I guess I would say. Share with our listeners, Evangelist, about the season when your mom met Percy and his children.
Wow. Ooh, those children were something else. Yes, I can remember when Mom met Percy and stuff. We were living in New Orleans, and I believe it was on Adrika Street the first time when she met him. Then we moved to Green Street, and it's just amazing how I remember these streets. And I remember Percy coming into the life. He was an alcoholic, if I'm not mistaken. He was an alcoholic because he was always drunk. And I can remember the times, you know, when him and my mother used to fight, and his children, he had, he had three children, and one, a baby, which was a younger girl, then he had an older girl, and then a middle boy. And the older girl was something else. She brought so much into our life that we shouldn't have been doing. She brought some things into our life, introduced us to some things that we shouldn't, at that age, you know, even be thinking about and everything. And I got in trouble for my sister because I included something in the book, and she said, about during that time as well. She said, you could have, you know, you never think about it. That's why I changed names on some place, you know, things, because you never know. She said,
right, right, of course, of course.
I said, but you know what? It didn't dawn on me. You, my sister, it didn't dawn on me that it would make such a big difference, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because some of the things that, you know, we had did and some of the things that was being done to us at that time,
mm-hmm.
with his, this older girl was showing us some, I mean, showing us some ropes, showing us some insight on some, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, some very promiscuity, if I say the word correctly. She had to be, I realize now, she had to been, have been a bit abused to be able to go and to be able to do all of these different things, you know, to even,
mm-hmm.
you know, show us how to play with ourselves, you know, different things like
mm-hmm.
that with boys and you know, next-door neighbors and stuff like that. I can remember her, you know, her with some next-door neighbors and my sister and, you know, myself, you know, just different things just going, that we was doing and or was about to do. But my sister brought it to my attention that when that did happen, when, you know, when this boy did take out his penis, let me just going to be out straight with you. She said she felt it and then she just ran. She up and ran. I didn't remember that part.
My.
You know, but we shouldn't have been. And so,
well, how old were you, Evangelista? I mean, let our listeners know the age category.
7, 8 years
old. My.
7, 8 years old, 9 years, yes, because we moved to Chicago when I was like maybe 9 or something. So, yes, 7, 8, 9 years old, around that age, around in that age. I was trying to remember exact ages and stuff like that, but it was around there.
Eight years old,
why was we being introduced to this stuff? You know, why was this happening to us? Even then, that's why as when you purchase the book, even in, then I look at my life. I was being abused younger. And it's some stuff, you know, my sister brought to my mind in January that I didn't even put in there. Some things she brought to me. I was like, wow. And I can remember them. And these were relatives. It was some relatives during that time, too. And I'm like, what happened? Why was this going on? And so, and I can remember the man that my mother was with at that person. I can remember him getting shot in the face. He got shot in the face. He was sitting in the car. He got shot in the face and everything. But he was so abusive to my mom and you know, and stuff like that. I guess mom finally came to her senses, even though I think we was maybe 3 years or more there with them or whatever. I can't remember the full amount of years. But during that time, that first year, second year when we was there, because I used to go over to my grandmama's house a lot. I didn't want to stay there, you know, after all this stuff. I did not want to stay there. And so I went to my grandma. I used to catch the bus at 7 years old going from one side of the town in New Orleans to another side of the town. I mean, anything could have happened to us. Walking the streets, going from stores, walking railroad tracks, you know, and just different things. Anything could have happened to us. But God had a plan. God had a plan.
Yeah.
So his daughter, she taught us showed us so many things, teaching us the wrong things and saying, you know, this is the way. So you grow up and you're in that environment. Okay, this is the way I'm supposed to act in. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. So that has an effect on you. So as you grow, as you get older, if you don't see or no one else tells you something differently, even though your mom may say, don't do this, keep your panties up and your dress down, because those are words they used to say, you know, and stuff like that. That didn't matter anything when you're experiencing all this other stuff. You think this is what's supposed to be. You're supposed to be touched like this. You're supposed to be touched like that. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to let the boys do this to you and stuff like that, you know, to fit. You see what I'm saying? You grow up and you think this is common. This is natural. So that's embedded into your spirit, embedded into your mind. And the devil, you know, when you get to, the devil plays with that stuff, and he plays on that stuff, and he calls you to go deeper and deeper into those ruins, into that mess, that rut, until you get to a place you don't see no way out, you can't come out to do. This is what I have to do. I have to, you know, act this way. I have to do this. And it leads to other things in your later years. So she, during that time with him and that family and everything, I believe the boy, Sugar Boy, like we call him Sugar Boy, I believe that he had to be abused because he was doing some things, you know, crapping in his pants and hiding them and, you know, you know. And that baby, I think, because my mama was in his life at that time, aborted a lot of stuff because she had to be about, when she had to be about 2-3 years old or something like that, She avoided a lot of stuff because my mom had came into her life at that time. So I don't know if he was the one that did it to them or someone, that, you know, friends, or him being drunk. I'm pretty sure friends came into the house. You know how that goes.
Oh,
yeah. And that's why I pray. I don't know where they are today. I believe that she had to be abused, you know, because no one, and no child should have known that stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, no. Not at all. Mm-mm. That's learned behavior.
It is. It is. And not just from no TV. This had to be something that happened to you.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. I mean, when, you know, there are many young women as well as men who, you know, have grown up, now they're adults, but had been molested by family or friends, and it just saddens me, and that's one of the passionate things I have when I go to pray. I always pray about that, because as a little girl, even though we know it's wrong, but yet because of we're human, the feeling feels good. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
You know, it feels good for you, but you know it's wrong. And that must be something very, very, I can't get the word for it, but for a 5 or 6 or 7 year old to comprehend, to even understand that, yes, I know this is wrong, but yet the feeling, wow.
Yes, it's devastating to a child's mind. You know, the child is confused. You know,
mm-hmm.
It brings a state of confusion to them, and that's why some of us, you know, were so messed up when we got older, you know, and some people are still messed up because they haven't been able to deal with it, you know, some hidden stuff, and it surfaces when you hear different things, and then you begin to have those feelings again, you know, in those situations, you begin to go through that same experience all over again because you haven't dealt with it. In order to be truly delivered, in order to come out of it, to be brought out
mm-hmm.
of it, you have to face it, and you have to deal with it. And you got to realize it wasn't because of you. It's not your fault.
Thank you. Yes.
It's your fault. You know, yes, you may have been taught right or wrong, but yet it's not your fault. It became a part of you. It became something that you learned to do. It's just like we learn how to walk. We learn how to correctly. It's just a part of you. You just do it. It becomes almost like a habit. You become almost, it's almost an addiction. And that's the same thing you all, you know, everyone with sex and stuff like that, promiscuity and homosexuality, all the time, it becomes an addiction. It becomes, this is what I'm supposed to do. And it's hard to get away from it. It's hard to turn away from it. It's hard to stop doing it unless you let God come in. Well, how can you let God come in when you're so messed up in your mind? You got to forget about yourself. You got to be desperate. You got to become so desperate. You got, even like David, he became so desperate. He cried unto the Lord. He said, I cried unto you, Lord. Nobody knows me like you know me. And he, I remember, I think it was 142nd Psalm. Bring me out of this prison. We were camped in the prison. We was in bondage. We was in prison in our minds, in our lives during those times. And at a certain point in time, you got to learn, I got to get out of this. I can't take no more. You got to become desperate and cry out. You don't find refuge. You try to find refuge everywhere, but you don't find no refuge. That's why you try to comfort yourself with men and women, whoever you try to comfort yourself with, drugs and alcohol and sex and all these other kind of things. You try to comfort, you try to fulfill that need, that burden, that hurt and pain that you're experiencing, but you can't find that relief. You got to cry out unto the Lord. You got to totally surrender. You got to say enough is enough.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Mm.
Now, when you in chapter
Tracy,
I'm
excited. Oh,
it's wonderful. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, we overcome by our testimony, and so many people, they don't like to share where God has brought them from. You know, they already feel that they came out of their mother's womb, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. Mm-hmm. But if you open up and you share where God has brought you from and where you are today, we're helping somebody else that may be right in the midst of what we're talking about.
Exactly.
So I just wish more people would not think that they're already overcome and just share where God has brought them from, because not only do we overcome by it, but we give God the glory, because it was nobody else but God that could have brought us through the storm.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, to the Lord, let me know. I have to, you know, transparency. And that's what he was dealing with me when I was writing this book. You know, because he created us for a reason and a purpose. We all have somebody that we got to reach, somebody in our life that we got to touch. Something God brings us out of situations and circumstances that we can be able to let others know, those in whom he have in contact down our road, down our life, that we got to touch. He brings us out of our situation so that we can help somebody else. It's not about us.
That's it.
It's not about us. It's about that next person down the road. So as you just stated, we have to be transparent, Tracy. We cannot hide. You know how they talk about how they, you know, when all of a sudden they come out of the closet and all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
People in church today have went through so much stuff, but they holding it with them because back
then,
and you better not tell nobody what you've done. They gonna You got to realize that somebody is going through what you have already been through, and you can tell them how to get out of it because God brought you out. The Bible even talks about how can the blind lead the blind? How can the sick, you know, help the sick? If you
blind,
the song says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm not. You know, now I can see. I once was lost, but now I'm found." That's what it's all about. You was blind, God lifted those blindness off your eyes. You was lost, God found you. You was dead in your trespass and sin, God burst on you. Somebody got to know. And if you hold it to yourself, if you keep it to yourself, and if that deliverance will come from some other means, but God had put you in a place for such a time as this. And just that's my next book, Sister Tracy, Chosen for Such a Time as This.
Hallelujah.
You and you know, for this time to tell somebody else, you got to do what God had called for you to do. You can't let nobody stop you. Somebody needs testimony. Somebody need to know how you came out. Somebody need to know if they was in prostitution and they could come out of that prostitution. Somebody need to know if they're in drugs or they can come out of them drugs. Somebody need to know. Somebody need to know that you was abused, and no matter if they've been abused, you can make it. You don't have to be constantly go to no psychiatrist. Some people need psychiatrists, but Jesus is a psychiatrist.
Come on.
He can do for you like no other doctor, no other man can do.
Thank you, Lord.
And guess what? Even when you go through those programs, guess who's giving the doctors the skills and ability to say what they say?
That's it. That's it. The Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, glory to God.
My. You see, you can't help but get excited when you know what God has brought you through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, many times we find ourselves in a church building, and you know, this has happened to me a couple of times where I'm getting my praise on, and the person on the side of me has their arms crossed. I mean, if that's how they get down, that's how they get down. But they're looking at me like, you know, what's wrong with you? And I'm looking at them like, you don't know where God has brought me from.
Oh.
You don't know what he's brought me from. So I'm going to praise him with every last breath that I have, because the word of God says we are born to praise him.
My Lord.
Everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. I mean, that's what we were born to do. We were born to give it to him, because if it was not for the Lord on our side.
Yes.
Where would we be?
Yes, Sister Tracy. And don't nobody know the cost that you have to pay to get the praise that you have.
My.
Hallelujah.
That's what I love about you, because you, Lord, you are a true one of those praisers, you know what I'm saying, or one of those worshipers, because we've been together in that same spiritual place, and it's a wonderful place to be.
Yes, it is.
And, oh, my God.
I love it. Ooh,
thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
That's
my God.
I may say what I love about you, because I know you are a true lover of God, and you are a true worshiper, and that worshipers long to be with worshipers.
Yes.
And they have that freedom in the midst of worshipers to be who you are, a worshiper. God is good. Ooh, bless your name, Lord Jesus.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, real talk, Tanya White says, I'm just tuning in, so I may have missed this point. My goodness. What, Evangelist Stern, could you give her a little bit on the point of why we're in this area right now, where we are?
My goodness. We have been talking about the goodness of the Lord and about don't nobody know what we've been through, and we as individuals need to let somebody know. We need to be transparent. We need to be real. God is looking for truth on the inward part. He's looking for real people because you was created for a reason and for a purpose. God let you go through what you go through. He allowed those things to happen to you or whatever happened to you that let you to experience whatever you experienced to be able to help somebody else because it's not about you.
Yeah,
and when you realize that, and when you realize that your help coming from the Lord, and you realize God brought you out of the situations and circumstances, you can't help but bless the Lord. He created us to praise him. And we was talking my book I wrote, Treasure in the Midst of Ruins, Birth Out of Bondage, amen, about my life, about the things that God had brought me out of, the abuse, the molestation, the disappointments, and just all the different things that I went through in my life. And we're here right now because we know the real reason why we praise him.
Praise God.
The real reason why we worship the Lord.
Yes, praise God. Now, real talk, Tanya White is asking a question of Andrew Stern. Do you think that the reason that most of us not share our testimony because when you share your testimony, you have a responsibility to continue to strive to the next level and find comfortability in echoes, I believe it is. And she's saying, here is my point. Do you think that the reason that most of us do not share is because when you share your testimony, you have a responsibility to continue to strive to the next level?
You do have that responsibility, not only to yourself but to others that you have shared it with, because if you have come out of something and you done told somebody else what you've been through and how you got out of it, you have to continue to walk, show your life to be what you talk about. In other words, you say this happened to me and God's been dealing with me this. You preach one thing, you preach this, you got to live what you preach. So
hey.
Somebody else, what you know, how to get out of a situation and how God brought you out of something, you got to continue on that walk. Because if you people are looking up to you, once you done told somebody what God had brought you out of, they're going to keep their eye on you. Not only your associate, but your enemy. Because to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Once your temple has been swept clean, you have rid yourself, you have told somebody, you know, and you've been delivered from whatever it is, and the devil is listening to, he's going to come back to try you. And you can call somebody else to not make it because of your going back.
Yes.
So, yes, you do become accountable. You do. It does because you're not only to yourself, but to God as well.
My God.
God as well. Because he brought you out. He won't. This is about kingdom building. It's about kingdom building. And the devil wants you to, you know, they say you overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, by the words of your testimony.
The devil
trying to prove God wrong all the time. He wants God to, you know, feel bad all the time. So if he can cause you to say something, cause you to, you know, to say, well, God brought me out of this and he delivered me from this, and he can cause you to go back into that same situation without you repenting or something like that, we all fall short, you all.
Yeah.
But yet and still, we got to know in whom we believe and whom we trust. And we got to know that our life is not our own. Our life belongs to the Lord. So when we declare and decree a thing, when we say we did this and God did this and he did it, walk in it. Because you are not going to go to the next level unless you continue to walk in it.
Okay.
Don't go back. Don't go back. It's like a car going backwards. And, oh, Lord, maybe that's why you gave me that dream. It's like a car going backwards. And if a car is going in reverse, everything that's in its sight, if you don't have a full view of what's in back of you, it's going to cause a catastrophe. It's going to be a disaster.
Yes. My God.
You cannot go back. You're going to cause so much destruction going back. You got to keep on going forward. It says press forward. Press toward the prize. Lay aside every weight.
Yes.
Continue to go forward. You go back, you're gonna mess up somebody's life. Not only your own, but you're gonna mess up somebody else's. Because people are looking up to you, and the devil ain't gonna do nothing but sit back and laugh at you.
Yeah.
I told you didn't have what you have, but you gotta know that you have what you have, and you gotta press forward. You gotta be desperate. You gotta keep on going in spite of whatever comes your way, because God is never gonna suffer you to have anything more than you can bear. He's not gonna suffer you to experience anything that you're not gonna be able to bear.
Yeah.
That's those who live godly going to suffer persecution. But it doesn't matter about that. They persecuted him. But what did he do? What did he say? Father, forgive them. But
yes,
they know not what
they do. Yes.
We to keep on going. Yes, it's accountability. Yes, it's a responsibility. Yes, we got to keep on. We got to keep saying yes, Lord. Though you slay me, yes, Lord, I trust you.
Amen. Amen. I have a call. They have a question for you. It's I believe it's Tanya White. And let me get her on so she can go ahead and ask you a question or comment or whatever the Lord is leading her to say, okay?
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Miss Tracy. And
hi, Miss Tanya.
An evangelist. Let me get it stern.
Yes.
Loving the topic. I'm loving your book topic. And y'all are on fire. I'm just turning in right now. And so I'm going to stay for the rest of the show, but I do have a couple of questions. How does one, as a just a believer in God who is on fire for the Lord, believes in his word, and help to restore and reconcile the saints who have fallen back? You answered my question perfectly about when why people don't share, but I see a lot of saints who have fainted in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just stayed down there because they have fallen and they haven't gotten back up. And I have been teaching and preaching this for so long. When you fall, yes, people's lives are, you know, messed up, but they want to see you get back into the victorious state that they saw you before, even better. How does one help the saints do that outside of prayer? Because I'm a prayer warrior myself.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of prayer, how can we talk? Because some people, they isolate themselves. They don't want to hear the truth, and they just stay, like I say, in their comfortability in chaos. They're comfortable in their chaos because they're better than they used to be, but they're not where God wants them to be. So they're just comfortable. Mm-hmm. How does one go about restoring that, if I made myself clear?
Amen. I myself believe that, you know, for is that it's us living the life.
Mm-hmm.
Continue living their life, and as you say, you know, we know that prayer, you're a prayer warrior, and we know that prayer, I say, continue living their life and praying, continue telling them the truth, if they want to hear it or not, you know, just continue doing what you're doing, because they're looking at you. They want to see if you're for real.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see, you know, if you're going to faint, because something's going to come up on all of us and going to cause us to, you know, want to just step back. But I believe the Bible says, about, you know, we are cast down, but we're not destroyed.
Yes.
So, you know, the devil, he's going to come, and, you know, he's got some things going to come upon you. Count it not strange.
Mm-hmm.
We can't count those things strange, but we got to continue to live the life that God has called for us to live, and being that example, say, let you, you got to be, living epistle, being ready to be read by men at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the saints, whether whoever it may be, whether those that have backslidden, we got to continue to say, pressing forward, continue living their life, and most definitely, and you know what prayer can do.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer can do what no other power can do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Prayer. We have to keep on praying and fasting and living their life. That's the only way, you know, that full restoration is going to come, because we give it to Jesus. And we bring him in remembrance of his word. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to perform his word. He watches over his word to perform it. So you keep bringing to him, you know, just like the woman that kept on wearing the man, just kept on wearing him, kept on taking it to him, he had to get, let me go see about, you know, what's going on. They won't leave me alone. We got to continue to petition it. Continue to take it to the Lord. We got to continue to pray for the backsliders. We got to continue. That's the only way that they're going to come in, that God will give them understanding, that God will enlighten them, that God will open up their deaf ears, that God will take that veil, that those blindness that the adversary have put on their eyes, that they will see beyond the situation and see that the devil just want to kill them, because the devil is mad. He can't have a good time with the Lord like he used to. And here we are blessing the Lord and having a good time with him, able to come into his presence, able to worship him, able to adore him. The devil is mad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, he tricks people. He tricks them because he gets them to looking at their situation and their circumstance. And then they begin to have a pity party.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, did Jesus have a pity party when they were beating him?
Mm-mm.
He didn't have a pity party. When they was nailing him to that cross, when they put
my
that crown of thorns on his head, he didn't have a pity party.
Ooh.
Though I go through, though I'm persecuted, Though I'm knocked down. What about the prodigal son? He found himself. He came to himself. Those who backslide got to come to themselves, and they got to realize
you,
the significance of living a holy, sanctified life. Realize the power and the benefits that they have in serving the Lord. Realize that nothing else can compare to what they're going through. Eyes have not seen. It's our present suffering. It doesn't appear. Oh, my goodness. What we're going through right now, it's just a light affliction, a temporary inconvenience. So where they are, get up. Come to yourself. That's the only thing you can do. Tell them to come to themselves. They got oppressed. Because the devil will keep you bogged down with all the cares of this world. And you know what I found out, sister? The people, I was a backslider at one time because I lost my desire. Mm-hmm. When you lose that desire, there's nothing no one else can do until you come to your own self.
Wow. Hallelujah.
They have to keep praying for you. Saints have, I'm sure they were praying. My mother was praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
She was the reason I came out of the mess that I was in because she prayed for me. I counted to my mother because my mother's a praying woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She said she had to give me to the Lord. I left home at
15. Hey.
I left home at 15 and a half years old. She had to give me to the Lord. The devil keep on putting her on my mind, saying she may be out there dead somewhere. She just said, she said she had to give me to the Lord.
Yes.
So we got to keep on praying for the backside. To bring full restoration, we got to keep on praying for revival. We got to keep on praying for restoration. We got to keep on going to the Lord in prayer and fasting and worshiping him and praising him, reading his word, doing everything that the word tells us to do. That's the only way that people are going to be restored into the kingdom.
Wow.
How God is going to deal with their heart and mind, because it's going to take God. God is the only one that can change the heart of the man. We can plant, but God is the one that gives the increase.
Well, amen. You've given me many confirmations. Thank you, Evangelist.
Amen.
Thank
God bless you.
All right. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you so much for calling in, Tanya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Praise God. My gosh. We have 50 minutes remaining in the show, Evangelist Stern, and I do want to get these two other questions because I want to leave a little bit of time for us to go before the throne of grace and pray.
Yes.
The Word of God says to pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Now, this question I have for you, what was it like? You spoke about that a couple of moments ago with Tanya about leaving home at 15. What was it like to be on your own at the tender? Because to me, that's a tender age. That's tender at 15 years old.
Very.
What was that like?
Oh, my goodness. At first, I thought it was cool. You know, I thought it was awesome, you know, to be able to be on your own. And when I left home, let me just give you the background of the reason I left home. We was my sisters and I, we loved children. We used to always babysit, you know, and people's children. And my mother had got married. And so it was, it was some rules that had to change, you know, need to be changed. And the things we used to do, you know, when mom wasn't married and stuff like that. You know, this man coming here and saying, this got to change and this got to stop. And so it got to a point that I just couldn't take no more. It got to the point, you know, cause I remember him saying, two grown people can't stay in this house, you know, and all this, you know, stuff like that. Because we had kept somebody's child. And so when we took the baby back, by the time we got back home, it was late. You know, it was after midnight. And this was in Chicago. We had to take him back all the way to 69th Street and come all the way back to 115th Street.
Whoa.
100th Street. And so it was late. And so he just was in one of his little moves or whatever and started talking junk. And so that mean when he started talking junk, that mean mama started talking stuff to us.
Yes.
So I was like, and then I was fast anyway, okay, and I was seeing older people anyway at that time. So this just gave me an opportunity to get out because I wanted to be with the guy. You know what I'm saying? Wanted to be able to do what I wanted to do. Wanted to be able to, I'm just going to be transparent. Wanted to be able to have sex when I wanted to have sex. Drink, want to be able to smoke when I wanted to smoke, want to be able to do whatever I want to do without somebody saying you can't do it, without somebody saying you got to be in the house at a certain time. So all that, you know, piled up, and I just saw this opportunity. I remember when he said when we came back, he said those statements and you know, and stuff like that. So I said, okay, you know, okay, so two grown, you know, we can't be in, you know, in that same house, fine. And so I was talking to this particular, and I'm trying to remember the false name I gave him because I don't want to say his real name. I gave him
Charles.
Charlie, thank you.
Yeah, Charlie. I remember.
Thank you. I was telling you because when the lawyer called me about the book, he said, you know, any of these names real? And so I had to change them. So I had to think of some names to give the person. Well, anyway, I was already talking to Charlie on the phone. You know, when I came back, I talked to him on the phone. And so when they were fussing and all this kind of stuff, you know, we couldn't be on the phone, just fussing and fussing and fussing and fussing. So I told him, and my oldest sister, I told her, I said, I'm going to leave home. You know, and she was like, well, I'm going to go with you. The next day, I left as I was going to school. I was a sophomore in school, so I dropped out of high school as well. I was a sophomore in high school, so I left as I was going to school, and I didn't come back. I did not come back.
Yeah.
And so I went to stay with this guy, because I talked to him, you know, and he didn't really have no place of his own. He had to call one of his friends. You know, he was staying here and he was staying there, but this man, Charlie, amen, had me wrapped around his finger, had me wrapped around his baby finger. I was crazy about him. I would do anything for him. Anything for him. Because for those that didn't hear us earlier about the chapter 2 about my father, the void in my life, this was someone I found, oh, wow,
yeah.
I'm getting what I need. I'm getting, you know, attention. You know, I'm getting what I thought was love. You know, something is being fulfilled. But it was something that was just camouflaging it.
Mm.
It wasn't real. It wasn't real. So I thought it was real. So my opportunity to be with this person, the love of my life, the apple of my eye, to be with this person was wonderful. You know, I'm going to be with all the time. You know what I'm saying? So opportunity arose. I left home. So, okay. He was 8 years older than me. He was 8 years older than me. So he was grown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I should have knew better because he could have went to jail.
Yeah.
You know, he could have went to jail. He could have knew better. And so we went to stay with his friend. I remember over there on 43rd Street there in Chicago, 42nd Round over there in that area. And so I was able to do whatever I wanted to do. But it wasn't all that. It was good for the first year or so, you know, because I was free. You know, and he didn't try to, the things that he had planned for me, the devil, believe me, things are going to be all peachy and cream because the devil wants you to get in. Snared and entangled into the world for you. So he's going to make everything all right until he gets you truly out there and you're out there and there's no turning back. Because I can remember my mother say, don't let, and I took it wrong. She said, don't let the winter bring you back home. And I thought she was talking about, you know, winters in Chicago are awesome.
Oh, my.
So I thought that's what she was talking about. I didn't realize, you know, it really wasn't that. And so I was determined because, you know, I was determined that the wintertime wasn't going to bring me back home, you know. And I remember my mama sent somebody, my sister, I talked to my older sister, they knew where I was because my mom sent the police over there for me and everything. But in Chicago, they're not just going to come up in the place and they don't have a warrant and they don't know what you have up in there and stuff like that. So they stood outside, you know, on those, what they call those things, they spoke through. And they was telling me, well, your sister down here want to talk to you? But I did not. I jumped up. I was asleep. I jumped up. I saw him. But I did not, you know, let myself be visible. And so they just kept on saying until they got tired and they left. And from that point on, you know, it wasn't really no more contact. You know, I would talk to my sisters and stuff like that. And I wonder, you know, why my mom never did come looking for me no more. But it didn't matter because I was doing what I wanted to do.
Yes.
You know, so it that first year or so, it was okay. That, and then if you can remember the poem that I read about Dad, 16 years old, so I was turning 16 years old, and so I called my sister and I told her, oh, yo, I'm having such a good time. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And so he was listening on the phone, and he got on the phone, don't call here no more. You don't need to have no contact with your sister. You're a bad influence on your sister. You're nothing but a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point, of course, with Charlie, you know, I was getting what I needed, you know, and he had him a little job. I didn't, you know, have to work. I didn't have to do anything, but things began to get, it began to go downhill after a while because he saw, okay, I got her now.
Mm-hmm.
15 and a half, 16 years old, 16 years old, things began to change. He began to start introducing me to other different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he began to say, you know, this is what you have to do. This is what we have to do in order we got to have money. We got to have this, you know. And because I didn't want to go nowhere, I didn't want to leave him, I wanted to be there with him, you know, even though deep down in my soul, deep down in my spirit, I knew all those different things was wrong, you know, the drugs, and he gave me everything I needed. Marijuana, I was smoking reefer and basing my marijuana with cocaine, you know, getting high, just having a good time. drinking when I want to drink. You know, just having a good time. So I thought it was a good time, just like the prodigal son thought it was a good time and all the stuff that he was doing. Okay, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
The devil just was fattening me up for a kill. And that's exactly what began to happen, because he wanted to turn me out. He wanted, and if some of you all don't know what that term is, he wanted to make me a prostitute, you know, and stuff like that. So, and, you know, it was okay. Being out there 15 years old is not cool, because that's what happens, the adversary. That's what's going to happen. If you don't have no safe place to be, if you don't have someone that really, really care about who you are, not for what they, how they can exploit you and what they can do with you, if you don't have that, then what's going to happen, they're going to turn you out, or your supply of whatever you have is going to be diminished, and so you're going to go out and do different things yourself, and you're going to get in a place where you don't need to be, and you're going to get with people that you don't need to be with. You're going to end up on drugs. You're going to end up just in an alley somewhere. You might even end up dead. But he wanted to turn me out. So he, at that age, at 15, 16 years old, he began to introduce me. He began to just put little things in my mind, you know, Then I can remember, and I don't know if I had made 17 years old yet. I can remember him taking me to a trailer park, the truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I talked about that in there. To a truck stop, and you know, telling me to go, you know, to he'd sit in the car while I go to these trucks, and because this is, you know. You can get money, you can get this, and you can get that, and you know, and all this. I remember walking around that truck, so I was so scared. Here I am, 16, 17 years old. I don't think I turned. Here I am doing this. Wait. That wasn't in me.
Right.
Not in me. I didn't know about, you know, I didn't know. It wasn't in me. So I walked around that place, you know, just walked around it, and he got so upset when I really didn't do, you know, I was, didn't nothing happen. They didn't want to do this, and, you know, just whatever story I could make up when I got back there, because I didn't have no money, because I wasn't getting in their trucks with them people. Them people could have killed me.
Oh, yeah.
Could have killed me. Yes, I understood that this is what the pimps doing during that time in Chicago. They would take these girls to these different places, you know, to where they know men are, and they want young people. You know, want the young company and everything, and they will pay for whatever they need and stuff like that. But who knows if what these people had. God was still protecting me.
Oh, yeah.
Whether I knew that, God still had his hand on me. Remember, you all, I was that treasure.
Oh, yeah.
In the midst of all this stuff. Those are the ruins. Those are some of the ruins I'm talking about. But I was still God's treasure. Even though I was being, you know, stepped on, I was being exploited and everything else, I was still God's treasure. So I was still his treasure. So that 15 and a half, 16 years old, being out, that's what happened. That's how it was, being out there in the world, in Chicago, as a young girl, being exploited. And that's just not the end of it. That's just a little bit of it. You know,
they're going to have to get the book to really read the rest of it. Seriously, it's a wonderful book. So, you know, we don't want to really give too much out of the book, you know, you've allowed us to come into your world, and that's good, and I appreciate you for that. But, no, I don't want you to give too much out of the book. So you got to get the book, listeners, to hear the rest of the story, because that's just how it is. That's just how it is. And we just thank Vangela Stern so very much for sharing and opening it up and being a living testimony. She is truly a woman who walks the walk and talks the talk, okay? You know, you got a lot of people out there that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So, you know, I'm just so thankful for you being obedient unto our Heavenly Father. But before we go on to pray, there is one question that Tanya White wants to ask you, and she says, was there anything that could have happened in the household that would have made Evangelist adjust to the change after her mother married?
I don't know. I don't know, because, you know, if you look back, when I look back, because what I was doing during that time and what I was going through during that time and what was happening in my mind during that time, as you know, as Sister Tracy said, that was a very tender age, so I was still trying to find myself. I was still trying to figure out who I was, where I need to be, where I need to fit in. If you know anything about child psychology, if you know anything about psychology, about child development, those are different stages at that particular age, you're trying to identify who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to come into terms of who you actually are, where do you fit in, you know, who are you? And so I did not know. So at that time, whether my mother had said, okay, you could still do this or, you know, whatever, I don't know if I wouldn't have left home. I look at it this way. I believe Sister White it was. I look at it this way.
Yes.
God knows the steps that I have to take. And everything was already planned out. I wasn't even, did not even know, per se, you know, consider what was right or wrong. Was this wrong for me to do? Was this not wrong for me to do? It was that I was at that age, a teenager. You know how teenagers are. They want to do what they want to do. They want to be able to be free to do what they want to do. Whether my mother could have did anything, I don't know, because I think that's the road I had to take in order for me to be who I am now. In order for me to help somebody else. How can I tell you now that you can be birthed out of your bondage? That you can be birthed out of the ruins that your life had caused you to go into. If I had never walked that road, if I had never experienced it, if I had never was right there in it, how can I be able to tell some young woman now, that man that want to turn you out, you don't need to go that route? How can I be able to tell some young girl now, you don't need to leave home at 15 years old? You don't need to run away from home. How can I be able to tell somebody that, yes, even though you have been abused, you have been molested and everything else, that, you know, you can still be a great person. You can still achieve. You can still accomplish something in life. I dropped out of high school, but now I have a master's degree. I am in a doctoral program. How could I have been able to give that testimony if I hadn't experienced it? So maybe nothing could have been changed. Maybe this is, you know, I look at it. Nothing happened by accident in our life. This is what the Lord allowed for me to go through, for me to be who I am today, for him to put in me what I need in me, to be the child that he has called for me to be, to get the anointing that I need to have, to be able to fight against the wiles of the adversary, to be able to pull somebody out. I needed that. I needed to go through that. I needed to go through the fire. Just like gold needed to go through the fire. Because when you go through the fire, you come forth as pure gold. I had to go through the process. I had to go through it. Because I wouldn't be able to be effective in the ministry that the Lord has called for me to be. I wouldn't be able to healing water ministry. I wouldn't be able to tell somebody that they can be healed, that they can be delivered, that they can be set free.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. I had to pay the cost. You say you got to pay the cost to be the boss? And I'm not the boss of anything. The Lord is the boss. Jesus is my boss. But I had to pay the cost to be able to be effective in the world today. And look at our world, you all. Look at what's going on. When I was growing up, things are worse now. Children were able to walk the street, as I told you, was able to walk the street at 3, 4, 5 years old, going to the store by themselves, just a group of girls, and not getting snatched. But can you do that now? No. So for the changing times, I had to go through to be able to be effective in our world today, because this is what's happening today. This is what's going on in the lives of our young people. This is what's affecting our young girls and boys' lives today. They're being turned out. They're being introduced to alcohol. They're being introduced to drugs. And they don't know how to say no. They don't know no better way, because this is what they grew up in.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I don't think anything probably could have happened. I think that I had to go through it. I had to do that. I had to experience that. I had to be in the ruins to be able to let somebody know that they can come out. I had to. And you know what? I don't regret none of it, because I love the Lord today, because I know he had brought me out. I know I am somebody now.
Yes.
I'm somebody in Christ Jesus. I'm not no big you, a big I, but I'm somebody in Christ Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. He brought me out. He changed my life. I'm a new creature. And I can tell somebody else that they can become new too.
Praise God. Praise God.
Oh, Jesus.
Praise
I feel the presence
God.
Of the Lord, Sister Tracy.
Yes, sir. We're going to get ready to really fill in a couple of minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
but he is here. He is definitely here. He was here from the very, very start. He already had met us in this place, and that's why I love him so much, because he's always on time, just when we need him.
I have put your website up, which is www.birthoutofbondage.com, and Virtuous Lady said, "My Lord, wow." She really likes the website. That's a wonderful website, the name. And this last question that I have for you, because I want us to be able to go before the throne of grace,
yes,
is given to you by UFO.UK. And their question is, can you tell me the difference between evangelism and Catholicism?
Catholicism?
Like Catholic, like the religion, the Catholic religion.
Catholicism,
yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. Can I tell the difference between evangelism and Catholicism?
Uh-huh.
Well, no, I don't know a whole lot, because that's one area I haven't really, really searched so much into, but evangelism, and I would have to look that up, Catholicism, to see exactly what goes into, you know, into all of that, because I have never followed the Catholic religion, but
okay.
I do know that some of what we do believe in come out of it, because different things was changed, you know, back there, you know, for the religion, different things were changed, and what we believe they have changed, you know, like the baptisms and different things like that, it was changed from one form to another. I do know that much from when I took it up in class and everything, but I haven't never dwelled deep into it. But evangelism is being able to go out into the world and being able to reach the world. You're going out, you're taking the good news. Evangelist is one that stirs stuff up. Stirs people up, you know. Things have already been preached in their particular areas or whatever, but evangelism is one that goes out and stirs it up, is one that goes out. I think for me, as who I am, I go and stir up the minds of people, make them think. So evangelism is one that when you go out there and you'll be able to do that, you're going out into the othermost parts of the world, you're going out into the different areas, the different regions, the different places. You're not afraid to go out into those crack areas, into those drug-infested areas or whatever like that. But you're going where the Spirit of the Lord leads you, and you're letting people know, you're taking the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're letting them know that there's another way instead of where you are now. There's a better way. And how do you know it's a better way? Because it's the way of Christ. It's only two ways. It's going to be destruction, or you're going to live eternally with the Lord. You're going to be eternally damned, or, you know, eternally with the Lord. So it's only two ways. There's no other way. It's heaven or hell. So there's no other way. So when you evangelize, when you're taking the good news of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're going out there telling them about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And if I don't like to speculate about anything. Like I said, I would have to do some more research on it. I don't like to speculate about Catholicism, but I just know what I've been told and just a little bit that I have dabbed into with my studies. So I don't know a whole lot about it. And I'm not one to tell you if I know something, I'm going to tell
right.
you.
Right. Amen. Amen. So, you know, if whenever Evangelist Stern gets the time to, you know, dab into that, she can always email me and I can email it to the you know, put it on my board here so that way, you know, they can get the information. But thank you so much, Evangelist Stern, for, you know, answering what you do know.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know that the person that asked you that question says, I love this speaker. So they love you. So praise God. So I did ask, did anyone have any prayer requests, because we're going to go before the throne of grace with the remaining time that we have. But before we do that, I do want to thank everyone in the chat room that came out to support the show. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today. I also want to thank the person that was has been with us on the line, area code 919. I will click over to see if you have a question or if you're just listening via the telephone, but thank you so much for supporting the show. What was I going to say here? I also definitely want to thank Evangelist Stern for taking out the time to come and share her life with us through the book that she has written, which is called Birth Out of Bondage, Treasure in the Midst of Ruins. Before we go to the throne of grace, could you let us know how we can get a copy of that book?
Yes, I can. There are several ways in which you can actually get the copy of the book. My publisher is called Author House, so you can go directly to authorhouse.com, and you can put the name of the book in there, and it will come up. Or if you have something, I can give you the ISBN number. If you have something to write with, I give you that now. The ISBN number is 978 1-4343-9484-2. And I repeat that one more time for you. The ISBN number is 978-1-4343-9484-2. And you can put that ISBN number. You can look it up that way. And you can also go to Amazon.com, and you can put the name of the book in there. You can put my name in there. I'm pretty sure it'll come up that way. And you'll be able to get a little glimpse into the book as well at Amazon.com. You know how they give you an insight. They give you a little something there in the book. So you can go there, and you can also call the hotline. It's a book order hotline. And this is a number. It's an 888 number. I'm going to give that to you right now. The hotline number is 888-280-7715. Again, 888-280-7715. Or you can get it directly from me. I still have a few on hand. And if you would like to get it directly from me, you can mail it to Evangelist Lottie Stern, L-O-T-T-I-E, S-T-E-A-R-N-E, a money order of $15, and I've raised it to $16 because I need to put an insurance on it. Like we've experienced, we had a fire in the mail, and so I insurance on it, so it'll be $16 mailed to me, and with your address and everything, and I will sign the book and send it back to you. The address is 1221 Hawthorne, 1221 Hawthorne, H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N, Hanford, H-A-N-F-O-R-D, California, 93230. And you can make the money order or a cashier's check out to Lottie Stern. And I will give that as soon as I receive that. I will sign your book, and I will mail it right back to you. And you can also, my website, www.birthedoutofbondage.com, I have a place on there that you should be able to order it on there. Hopefully it will work. I have PayPal on there, so hopefully it will work. I haven't had anyone to try it as of yet, so I'm not sure if the link is there and it's supposed to be working. But if a chance it don't work, you can always call me as well or mail it to me or go to the other areas to get the book. You can always get it from there. And if you need to call me, I can be reached at area code 559-707-3830. Again, area code 559-707-3830. Or through Sister Tracy. And I have an email on my website. You can even contact me via that way as well.
Praise God. Praise God. Virtuous Lady says, anointed woman of God, guest speaker. Your guest speaker is anointed woman of God. So praise God. We just thank you so much, Evangelist Stern, for, letting us into your life on today. I know that people have been healed and delivered and set free. And Virtuous Lady does want to pray for those that are still in bondage to be healed and delivered. And before we go, before the throne of grace, I just want to make an announcement that by the grace of God, A Word for You will be back on the air on Friday, July 24th at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the topic will be called With Jesus, You Can Make It. My special guest will be Andrea Allen Strawberry. She is the founder of Word of Life Fellowship Ministries, and she will be sharing her testimony and the ministry that God has called her and chose her to be in. And we'll be back on the air again in August, August 14th, and my guest will be Evangelist Saxon, and she will be coming back with part two of What Happened to the Church That Jesus Built. So that's that, and I want to go before the throne of praise and pray, because there's power in prayer. So, Evangelist Stern, if you can walk us to the throne of grace, and I will follow behind you.
Amen, amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we first of all want to say thank you. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you for your mercy, your love, and your kindness, and your protection. Lord, we you just for this opportunity that you have allowed us to come into this place in this hour for such a time as this. We thank you for your presence, Lord God, and we thank you for the healing that have already taken place, the deliverance that has even taken place right now. Father, we come to lift up your holy name because your name is great and greatly to be praised. There is no other name we know, Father, whereby we must be saved other than in your mighty name, Jesus. So, Father, first of all, we come to give you honor. We come to give you glory. We come to reverence your wonderful name, to say how wonderful you are, how awesome you are, say you are holy and righteous and mighty and great. So, Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. We lay down our all before your throne of grace,
Lord.
Oh God. Afternoon. We give it all to you, Lord. We present our bodies into you, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, Lord God, which is our reasonable service. Father, we come humbly to you right now, Lord God, and boldly, and just give it all to you and say, have your way. We invite you here. We welcome you here in this place on this afternoon,
Lord.
We say, Lord God, that everyone that's under the sound of our voice, everyone that is listening on this afternoon, Lord God, that you will give them a special touch, that they will have a special encounter with you, oh God, that you will pour out on them, Lord God, that you will rain down on them, Lord God. Anointing that will destroy every yoke, oh God. Pull down every stronghold, oh God. Set captives free, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you will anoint them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will supply their every need according to your riches and glory. Grant them the desires of their heart as they delight in you, Lord. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, those that are in bondage, that you would set them free right now, Lord. Whom you have set free is free indeed. You are the Lord God of all. You are the Lord of all, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord God, there is no other name we know, Lord God. No other name other than you, Lord. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to you. So, Father, I pray, oh God, for the nations. I pray for Israel, Lord. I pray for Jerusalem. I pray for every country. Oh God, I pray for every third world country, Lord. I pray for everyone that's sick and afflicted in their bodies, Lord God. I pray for everyone in convalescent homes and hospitals, oh Lord God. I lift up our marriages and families, oh Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I lift up the young people, Lord God. I lift up, oh God, the young girls, oh God, the teenagers, oh God, that don't know, oh God, that can't make sound decisions, being used and misused by these men, oh Lord God. I lift them up before you right now, Lord God. I pray you would send somebody in their midst, oh Lord God, that they can speak a word to them, oh God, your word that will heal and that will deliver them, that will bring them up out of the bondage that they're in, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will keep your angels encamped about them, oh Lord, that they will not be captivated, oh God, that they will not Lord, oh Lord God, by the adversary, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that they will be drawn out of that mess that they're in, Lord God. I pray that, oh God, your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, Lord, that they will turn away from their wicked ways, oh Lord God. In the name of Jesus, you say that you will hear from heaven. You say that you will forgive them of their sins, oh God. You say that you will heal their land. Father, our land needs to be healed today. So much oh God, so much is going on, oh God, so much turmoil, oh God, so much disaster, Lord God, so much deception, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, oh God, hallelujah, as I pray and plead your blood over the lives of your people throughout the land, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, find us in unity with love, with cords that cannot be broken, Lord, and I come against every hindrance, every distraction, I come against every spirit that's unlike you, Lord God, every attaching itself to the minds of your people, causing, oh God, confusion, causing, oh Lord God, deception, causing, oh God, bondage. I plead your blood over it right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord God, I come against every spirit, oh God, of lack. I come against, oh God, every spirit of want right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For you said that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, oh Lord God. You said that you will supply our every need according to your riches and glory. You said, oh God, that all we got to do is ask to seek you while you can be found, to call upon you while you're near. Right now, Lord, we're calling upon you, Lord God. We are poor and
Lord
we
Jesus.
Are needed right now, Lord God. You
yes,
are the author and the finisher of our faith.
Hallelujah.
You are our first, our last, our beginning, and our end. Lord God, we look into the hills right now from which coming out all our help and all our strength coming from you, Lord God. So,
thank
Lord,
you.
We're calling on you. Said, oh God, that
yes,
you are our present help in a time of trouble. Lord God,
hallelujah.
You said, cried and you heard him and delivered him out of the distress. Lord, you delivered me. You brought me out of my troubles. You brought me out of my God. You brought me out of my ruins. So I pray right now, oh God, for your people throughout the land. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray that they would be brought out of their ruins. I pray that they would be born again. They would be birthed out of the bondage that they're in, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, hallelujah, that you would protect their minds, oh Lord God. In the name of oh Lord God.
Yes,
I pray for governments, oh Lord God. I pray right
yes.
now for spiritual leaders, oh Lord God. I
yes,
pray that you will them, oh God, that they can feed your flock, oh Lord, the truth, oh God, the unadulterated word of God. Oh God,
yes,
not sugarcoating the word, but tell them like it is,
yes,
oh God. But we know
yes.
that it's heaven or it's hell, oh God. And we want to go to heaven. We want to see you in peace.
Hallelujah.
We want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful
oh,
servant.
My,
Lord, I pray for this, your vessel, oh God. Sister Tracy, Lord, I lift her up before you right now in the name of Jesus. Continue, oh God, hallelujah, to empower her, Lord God. Continue to anoint her, Lord God, that she can continue to do what you have called for her to do, Lord God. Bless everything that her hands touches, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And every listener, oh God, everyone that participated, oh God, today, Lord God, I pray for them and lift them up and pray for your will to be done in their lives. Help us, oh Lord God. You are the pot and we are the clay. Make us and mold us into what we have to be, oh God, to whom we have to be in these last and evil days. We surrender to you, Lord. We yield to you. We give our all to you right now. We present our bodies into you, oh God, a living
yes.
sacrifice, holy and acceptable, Lord God, which is our reasonable service. We say, here we are, oh God. Oh God, hallelujah. If you need anybody, here we are, God. Send us, oh God. Hallelujah. Into the uttermost parts of the world to do your will, oh God, to help build up the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, oh God. I pray and I ask all these things in your wonderful name, oh God. But we know that there is nothing impossible, nor is there anything too hard or too difficult for you to do. You are a specialist, and we depend totally and wholly on you, oh God. I just have your way. Thank you for your presence
you.
And your anointing.
Yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray.
Yes,
amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you on today, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We lift up your holy name, Father, for there's none like you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for showing your new mercies and your new grace today, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making our crooked road straight on today, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you woke us up this morning, you clothed us in our right mind, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave us eyes to see your holy word, Father, and ears to hear your sweet, sweet, sweet voice, oh God, and a mouth to praise and worship you, oh God, hands to raise up towards the heavens, Father, and feet, Father, to go tell the good news about your precious Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We don't have enough tongues to thank you, Father, but what we have, Father, we will give you the glory, and we will thank you, Father, for your new mercies and your new grace. We will thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood that you shed on Calvary's cross. We will thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit which guides us into all truth, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for another day that wasn't promised, oh God. We thank you that you opened up our eyes today, Father, to see a day, Father, that we'll never see again, oh God. We'll be sure to praise you, Father, in the midst of our storms, oh God. We'll be sure to praise you, Father, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, oh God. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for loving us, oh God, when we didn't even want to be loved, when we didn't even know how to love, oh God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for life, Father, and life more abundantly, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for our families, Father. We thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for Evangelist Stern, Father. I just pray a fresh anointing to continue to fall upon your willing vessel, oh God, leader and guider in all of the directions in which you would have her to go, Father. Speak through her, oh God, with boldness, Father, as well as with love, Father. We just thank you for her life, God. We thank you for the ministry that she's birthing out, Father. We thank you for her family. We thank you for her children, oh God. We thank you that she is lighting the world of darkness, oh God, that she is everything that she said that she would be unto you, oh God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that came on the chat room today, Father, everyone that came to support the show, Lord. You know what they stand in the need of, Father. You saw the tears that was cried, Father. You heard what the doctor diagnosed them with, oh God. But we know you, Father, as a healer, Father. We know you as a comforter, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're comforting the ones that have broken hearts, oh God. And you're comforting the ones that may have lost their way or fallen down, Father. You're comforting the ones that are weak, Father, and making them strong, Father. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you for being our joy. We thank you for being Jehovah Shalom, our Prince of Peace. We thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our Provider. We thank you, oh God, for all that you're doing for us, oh God. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for one more day just to praise you. One more day just to give you the glory. One more day just to magnify your name. One more day just to worship you. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to the Lily of the Valley. Hallelujah to the bright and morning star. Hallelujah to the Messiah. Hallelujah to our shepherd. Hallelujah to a friend that sticks closer to us than a brother could ever stick to us. Hallelujah to our Abba Father. Hallelujah to the lover of our souls. Hallelujah to the lawyer that's in the courtroom. Hallelujah to the doctor that's in the hospital. Hallelujah to our husband. Hallelujah to everything we need you to be. Thank you for being Jehovah. Thank you for being Jehovah. I am, I am, I am. Whatever we need you to be, that's who you are, God. Thank you for your many promises, oh God. Thank you for stirring up the gifts that's in us, oh God. Oh, Father, I pray for worldwide revival in the lands, oh, God. I pray for worldwide repentance in the lands, oh, God. I pray for salvation in the lands, oh, God. So many wolves are roaming the way, Father. So many wolves, so many false prophets, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for people to have a spirit of discernment, oh, God, so that they can see the real Jesus in the people, Father. In the name of Jesus, is that they will not fall, Father, for the false prophecy, oh God. We thank you, Lord, even though you said that there was going to be days like this, Lord, with turmoil, Father, and earthquakes, and lovers, people are lovers of their own souls, and mothers against mothers, and fathers against fathers, oh God. But I just pray, Father, that we can unite together, Father, and that families can start loving on one another once again, Father, that mothers and daughters can come back together again, and fathers and sons, and mothers and fathers, Lord, and sisters and brothers and uncles and aunts, Father, that we can find that love and that we can become one just as you and the Father are one, oh God. I bind up the spirit of jealousy and envy, Father, and gossip, Father, in the church buildings and in families, oh God, in the name of Jesus. There is so much power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the only name where people can be saved, God. So I pray that they will call on the name of Jesus today, Father, and that they will ask, what must they do to be saved, Father? I pray for every backslider, God, for you love them too, oh Father, that they will turn from their wicked ways, Father. They will turn from self-destruction and come back to their first love, which is Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, and every child that has been molested, that has grown up to be an adult, Father, I pray that they would have a spirit of forgiveness, Father, and that they would first forgive themselves, Father, and let them know that it wasn't their fault, oh God, and they would then forgive the one that violated them, Father, and that they will know, Father, it was not what they wore, it was not what they said, it was not how their hair was done, it was not how they smelled, Father, and it was just a spirit, Father, that was foul, oh God, and we bind up every molesting spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and I ask that you comfort the one that has been touched and violated, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus. There is healing, healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. And there's deliverance in the name of Jesus. Go into the land, Lord Jesus, and have your way. Thy will be done, oh God, in every homeless person that's on the street, Father, they're sleeping in the alleyways and doorways, oh God. I pray that buildings will open up,
Father, and that they will house the homeless, oh God. I lift our government officials before you, Father. Woo, hallelujah, oh God. Let their minds be open and their eyes and heart be open to see the way that you see, Father. And I pray, Father, that they will come up with a plan, Father, and stop taking from the poor and allowing the poor to get poorer, and stop taking from the rich, oh God. Father, you said the first will be last and the last will be first, Father. We're waiting on your promises, oh God. Go into the White House, Father. Go into all legislations, Father. Go into the governor's office, oh God. Have your way, Father. Go into their offices, oh Father, and renew their minds, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, we need you in these perilous times, oh God. We need thee, Father, like the flower needs the rain, Father. Let us learn to go before the throne of grace and pray, Father, without ceasing, oh God. Let us learn to praise you even when we don't have no money in our pockets, oh God. Let us learn to worship you, oh God, in spirit and in truth, Father. Let us learn to be thankful, Father, with the little things, oh God, just being thankful to have clean running water, Father, because in some lands, oh God, they're drinking dirty water, oh God, but yet they're still being thankful, Father. Let us be thankful, Father, that we may not live in a mansion, but we live in a house that covers our head, because there's somebody, Father, that don't have a roof to cover their head, oh God. Let us be thankful, oh God, just for the little things, Lord. Let us continue to worship you and praise you so that the blessings can come down in our lives, God. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Father. I thank you for my life, Father. I will continue to praise you until you come back for me, Father. I'll continue to worship you until you come back for me, Lord. Just forgive me for everything that I've done that I know I should have done, but yet I didn't do it, Father. Just like the apostles Paul said that, you know, the things that we shouldn't do, we know we shouldn't do, but yet those things we should still do, Father. Forgive us, oh God, just as Jesus was on the cross and forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, Father. And let us learn to look at people when they've done us wrong, not as the person, but the spirit that is within them, Father, and to pray for them, Father. Let us continue to pray for our enemies, oh God, for you said our enemies will become our footstool, Father. We just thank you for your many promises, oh God. We thank you for your word, because every time we read the word, you speak to our very soul, God, and we thank you for life, Lord. Continue to have your way in the lands, Father. Continue to do your will, Father, and as we continue to say yes, Lord, we'll continue to pick up our cross and follow you wherever you lead us, Father, and we'll continue to have faith, Father, that we will walk out into the water, Father, and not look back, but look ahead to what you have for our lives, God. We give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we give you all of the honor in your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, my God. Thank
hallelujah,
you,
Lord.
We just thank God. If it was not for God, if it was not for God, if it was not for God.
Thank you, Jesus.
If it was not for God, even in the wilderness state we may still find ourselves in, if it was not for God.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to go through the wilderness in order to get to where God has called us to be. He wants us to have that Job kind of a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Job had everything and then lost everything, but because of God.
Yes, yes.
Because he trusted him in spite of everything that he went through, in spite of losing his children. Can we really have a Job kind of spirit? Because if we were to leave everything that we have, will we still be able to trust God?
Yeah.
Will we still be able to hold on to his promises?
Mm.
And when we say yes to the Lord, we have to surrender all and really say yes, yes, Lord. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. Yes, Lord, because God is God. He changes not. He's the same today, tomorrow, and always. He promised us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He does his promises. That's why we got to stand the word to know his promises, listeners. Stand his word to know his promises. You may be going through the storm, but God is still there with you. You may be depressed, but God is still with you. You may have sickness in your body, hallelujah, but God is still with you. He says, will you trust me?
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Evangelist, sir, we have 3 minutes left remaining in the show. Is there any last bit words you would like to say to our listeners?
Amen. I just thank God for you all coming on and supporting us on this afternoon. I say to God be the glory and stay encouraged. If anyone that they're in bondage, just know that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring you out. Hallelujah. And amen. Just be listening. I'll be looking forward, hopefully, by the end of August. I have another book coming out, so you got to get the first one, amen, before the second one comes out. So we're working on this second one. And I really appreciate you, Sister Tracy, that I tell you the Spirit of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. And I know that listeners have been touched, and I just thank God for you.
I thank God for you, too, also. And again, as Evangelist Stern said, go out and get the book, Birth Out of Bondage, Treasure in the Midst of Ruins. It's an awesome book. And when I was done with it, I still wanted to reread it again, which I am going to do. I'm an avid reader, and when books are good, even if you've read it, you just want to go back into the person's life again, and that's how this book made me feel. After I finished reading it, I still wanted to go right back into her life. I wanted to hear it all over again. So go out and get the book. Evangelist Stern gave you all the information, and for those who are just tuning in, listen to the archive. And you can hear all the information on how you can obtain this awesome book from this awesome woman of God. You have been listening to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio, where my guest has been Evangelist Lottie Stern. And again, go out and support her and get this book called Birth Out of Bondage, Treasure in the Midst of Ruins. Amen? And we're going to go ahead and close this show out. Thank you so much, Evangelist Stern. I love you with the love of Jesus Christ.
And likewise. Amen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.